years of him that was to come. Now, Adam, I just made the expression a while ago, Adam partaken of the fruit of the tree. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a disobedience. He was told not to do that. Mm-hmm. See? You follow me?
I follow you.
Well, he did that on the account of his bride. Now, here's the application of it. Mm-hmm. Yahshua was the Messiah. I just made the expression a while ago. Mm-hmm. He was made to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of Yahweh in him. Mm-hmm. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
He's made to be that sin sacrifice, mm-hmm. even before the foundation of the world. In him.
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Mm-hmm.
He's made to be that sin sacrifice, mm-hmm. even before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? And it's the only sacrifice that Yahweh will accept.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could go ahead and lay out a whole lot of stuff here about the prodigal son.
But there's no
need of it. You see what I mean? Now, you know how that is.
Yeah, I think.
Now, he asked his father for his portion, and he gave it to him, you see? And then he went and spent it in riotous living, that he sported it around. He made this, and he made that, and he made the other, made this, and made that, and made just over sported it. Happened to run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
See? You follow?
Right, I follow you.
Now, then he has to be responsible for the creation, see? For his restoration and redemption. In other words, he has to take the responsibility on himself,
mm-hmm.
you see, for what goes on. Same thing you got Nixon and the Watergate. He didn't probably create a whole lot of them things, but he has to take the responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm. Because he's ahead of it.
And if he didn't do it, then it's dereliction of duty. So anyhow, you have to be responsible for it. You follow what I'm telling you?
Mm.
If I so, because he made the man, Yahweh, Elohim made the man. Now he's got to be responsible for his redemption.
May I say this? I don't see the Messiah made to be sin in the same respect of Adam.
No, that's right.
Adam disobeyed.
That's right. He said that he did no sin. See? If you follow, neither was God found in his mouth. And that's why John didn't want to baptize him, because he was not a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't take one sinner make him atone for the other. You understand what I'm talking about? You don't do it that way. See, you have to have a righteous man to accept the responsibility for it. You see what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about?
So you're saying that Adam is a fig of him to come? He's a fig of him that was to come?
Yes, Adam partaken of the fruit of the tree for the sake of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You see? In other words, he took the responsibility on himself.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Now, Dr. Kendler, I have to be perfectly honest. One thing that I don't understand is this. If he's a figure in one sense, you know, it would seem, and I want to take my assumptions out of it, that he would be a figure all the way. Now, here's what I'm saying, that if he willingly partook of the sin for his bride, he willingly died for her, went ahead and did what he always said not to do, because of his instinctive love for his bride, being a figure of Yahshua the Messiah that was to come, that partook of our sins for us. He willingly died for us. Now, if that figure works in that particular respect, then if Yahshua the Messiah was without sin, even though he partook of the sins for us, it would seem like to me the same would apply to Adam if he's a figure of him that was to come.
Well, this thing that I was speaking about is Adam died because he disobeyed the commandment. But the Messiah died to redeem Adam, He went, in other words, Adam went, died and went down because of a disobedience of the commandment not to touch the tree. But the Messiah, he just died to raise the first man, Adam, up. He's made to be sin. That is, he took on a likeness of sinful flesh and went down into death to bring him up. But as far as him disobeying the commandment as Adam, I don't see that he did.
Well, was I right when I said this in the paper at the end? I ended it with this. This is next to the last paragraph. Remember, Adam, as the son of Yahweh, in righteousness, was not deceived and was not a transgressor, but rather partook of the death for his offspring, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Now, is that statement correct or incorrect?
Adam died for the love of his wife. Likewise, the Messiah come and died for the love for his wife, spiritual Israel. But the Messiah came down and was made to be sin in order to redeem Adam, who by disobedience of the commandment died.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that Messiah disobeyed the commandment and died, to be made to be sin, I don't see how you could say that. You understand?
No, he didn't disobey.
That's right.
He obeyed. I mean, the Yahshua is Messiah.
That's right.
He obeyed.
That's right. And really, Adam obeyed and disobeyed and bringing about the purpose.
That's the cardinal point right there.
That's right.
You see, now Adam, that's why the subject matter is so technical. See, when you say the Adamic transgression, see, now that throws the thing right there out of context without an explanation. See?
Mm-hmm.
So it just better to use it in a different sense, as Paul uses it, say, in Romans 5, in the 5th chapter of Romans, right? Disobedience of one man's sin in it. You understand? And he's talking about the Adamic sin, say, or disobedience. See? Now, let's say this, too, while we're at this. The probabilities are, this is something that it hasn't come out in the Washington yet. And it's probably a little bit hard to see. Now, Yahshua the Messiah was the word of Yahweh himself. And he was a son. He was the word and the son. Now, when we carry that thing on back there to Adam, as a son, you see, what it was within him, you follow? What I'm really trying to say is this. If you follow it down both ways, see, he was executing the will of the Father.
Yes.
You follow what I'm talking about and what was done?
Right.
That's the reason why I tried to show you, you see, that he was as a sacrifice before the creation, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm talking? That's why I tried to show that.
Mm-hmm.
See? But as so far as the disobedience was concerned, see, it was really Adam or the Son himself or the Father speaking through the Son saying, don't touch the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You found that?
I follow you.
But you see, you'd have one heck of a hard time getting somebody else to see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you'd get older than Methuselah trying to get somebody to see that.
All right.
Doc Kimmel, you made a statement to me one time, it's been 4 or 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where you told, and I think you made it from the floor later too, where you said after that Joshua came in to fulfill the law, not keep it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's the same thing that Adam did.
That's correct.
He's fulfilling the purpose.
That's right.
Not keep it.
That's right. That's correct. That's what I'm trying to show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the correlation of the two sons.
Mm-hmm. The purpose was Adam had to touch of that tree in order to bring man to
down.
That's
correct.
And the purpose was that Joshua had to touch of that tree to bring mankind.
That's correct. It had to be made that for us, that we might be in him, the righteousness of Yahweh. Now that's the real. Let me see if I can.
I understand it.
Let's put one more thing in here. See, now this isn't understood either. That Yahweh was in Yahshua, reconciling the world unto himself. Now that's good. That goes by the board.
Mm.
Folks don't understand that at all.
Mm.
And they will definitely challenge you on that.
Mm.
And he was an Adam bringing it down.
That's right.
In my questions on these things that are in the paper, I think that, matter of fact, I know that they all have been cleared up. I don't think I even have to go through any more, use any more time going into the rid of the paper, because I see the things that I failed to do and failed to document, and if anything else is written according to the purpose, if Yahweh so wills it, then I'll know the next time what to do. But I don't at any time intend to say anything or preach anything other than what I've been taught and what is written in this book.
Yes, that's right.
You understand? So that we as sons of Yahweh will be in harmony.
That's right.
But I do think that my injections of another cardinal point is necessary at this particular time. I've had it on my mind for quite some time now. And I might as well get it off my chest. I've heard the expression often, don't move ahead of the cloud. Now, in my understanding, in the way that I see it, anything that I come across, any correlation that I make, would have to come from what I've been taught and what is written. All right. Now, in the manner in which Yahweh gives me the words to express it, it might appear to be something that the old man has not gone into. But if I speak it, it would have to come from what he has taught me and what he has written. Now, to give you an example of what I'm talking about, Dr. Harris is a professional medical doctor. All of the correlations that he received on the physical body is a result of what he's been taught out of the book and through Dr. Kendall's mouth. Is that right, Dr. Harris? You follow what I'm saying? Now, Dr. Kendall does not go into, per se, physically speaking, from this body here, the correlations of the physical body. You follow? But these are revelations from Yahweh within that body according to what is written in the book and what has been spoken through this particular vessel. Now then, when you go into things per se that maybe the people haven't heard the old man say, or maybe they've been in class and they haven't heard it, and you come up with something that apparently, you know, is new, and you hear the expression, don't move ahead of the cloud. Now I would like to have that clarified, please. That would clear up some maybe misconceptions in my own mind and heart, in reference to the way that the statement is being coined or used, you know, in the confines of the school.
Well, I think that would be my duty to you. I'll tell you something else. I'm going to bring this up as a correlation.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard me say this, that I know how to go to Rome or anywhere else I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
More than one way.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to catch an airplane, ride a railroad train, or I know how to make a projection
mm-hmm.
and be there. Now, it would take me as long as it would to grow up to explain to somebody else how that could be done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See? You found
him? Now, I did that. See? And I did it more than one time. See? Then people come back and they beg me never to do that no more. In 1967, we had that in Fayette, if you recall. Mm. Now, here's what I'm saying. See? Now, you do the same thing. You do it. Mm. You see? Everybody in the house does it. But you see,
just left Chicago, and he was getting ready to go to Los Angeles. And the last words I told him was not to go. Not at that time, because we had just gotten some people together, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And that night, you said I appeared to you in blue flame.
That's
and
right.
Told you, Rip, you stay put.
That's right.
And you got on the telephone the next day and called up there to New York and told me in New York, all right, I got the message.
Yeah, that's right.
Now I was not conscious. Mm. At all of appearing to you. Not at all.
Yeah,
I was thinking about you,
mm.
but I was not conscious at all that I had made a projection to you. Not at all.
Yeah, I remember that.
Now, maybe I didn't proceed.
All right.
About going ahead of the class. You see, now the thing of it is, now here's the whole story. Now this is the purpose of Yahweh condensed. This is it, condensed. And it's always nice to refer to it as such. And I was trying hard last night to show that the end was declared from the beginning. And about institution and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so far as Yahweh is concerned, the thing has been concluded with him. See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
The whole show. It's been started and over with him.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But not with you. You follow what I'm talking about? So now what you have to do, you have to follow through in order to see and to understand what it is really all about.
Mm.
Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Now, if you notice, I brought that up about not going ahead of the cloud, and then I brought up a correlation about projection.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
See? You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Yahshua the Messiah did that many times,
mm-hmm.
you see, to his disciples. When he was walking on the water down there, and they thought they saw a spirit,
mm-hmm.
he's sitting up there in the mountain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
See? Where did that come from? You see, back over there in Genesis, the first chapter, the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the water.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now you've got to fulfill all of that. You follow what I'm
mm-hmm.
talking about?
Yeah, I see.
See? But now, see, here's the point. See, when you say run ahead of the cloud, now this is what I really mean by it. Don't start nothing that you haven't understood in the teaching without the ability to explain it according to the teaching.
Okay.
Now that's what I mean by now don't run ahead of the cloud.
I heard you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now somebody else may say, well, you run ahead of the cloud. You see? See, you had the ability to explain it.
Mm.
You see what I mean? Mm. You weren't ahead of the cloud.
Mm.
Not by any means. You follow my thought?
Well, that clarifies it. That is not the way it was originally projected to me. And I understand what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
That if you possess the ability to explain what you're talking about according to the knowledge of the scripture,
that's right,
and prove what you're talking about.
Now, just a minute. I want to put one thing in there. See, it should be the Holy Spirit in you. That is, in me and in you. You see, then that won't move you ahead of the crowd. You follow what I'm talking about? Now, let me see if I can show that so that we can understand what we're talking about. Look how many writers there were. Moses and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all of them, you see. And they were all right with the cloud all the time. See, it may seem like he's off the course, but he wasn't. You see what I'm talking about?
All right.
See? So now that's the way it is. In other words, if we could just do one thing, if we could just get it in our hats, see, or in our heads, or in our hearts or minds, you see, that there is a Holy Spirit in operation. See, and that Spirit is universal, and it expresses itself to everybody. Let's put it that way, see. Through everybody. And there is a spirit of negation, see, in existence. And it's just to the opposite or to the contrary. You see what I mean? Now, what we want to do is this. See, we are never going to get to the place. I just might as well come on up and tell you, see. We're never going to get to the place where you're going to overtake Yahweh to such an extent, you see, until you can sit down and write a paper, you see, follow some kind of statements and all that is made. Or in other words, you're finite and he's infinite. So him make a statement, you don't know why he made it. See, just like he said, he declared the end from the beginning. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses say that when Yahweh put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, or they was in the Garden of Eden, he didn't know what they was going to do. Then if that be the case, then how is he going to declare the end from the beginning? See? Now, they want to withstand you to the face that they're right about it. You see what I'm talking about? And just wrong as they can be. You see that? I'd like to bring up something else while I'm on the score. See, they say that the Holy Spirit is not in any man. And yet the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You see? And Yahweh, Noah said he dwelt between the wings of the cherubims within the tabernacle. Is that right? Leviticus 16:2. Now that just means Jehovah's Witnesses don't know nothing about what they're talking about. See? And they're in direct disputation with the Bible, but unaware of it, you see? And Ezekiel 36:24-25, he said, I'll wash you from all your idols and put my spirit within you. Second chapter of Acts of Paul says, the Holy Spirit was poured out, see, upon. That's what they're saying. See? And it says there they were filled, right in the same chapter, filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's up on and within too. Now how about that? See, you're in the atmosphere. See, it's up on you. And you certainly do breathe in and out of your lungs. You see, it's right in and within.
That's right.
Now you following
me? Yeah, I understand.
The commandments were laid in the Ark of the Covenant. You see? If that be the case, then you're a body of the temple. You understand? And you have the most holy place in there, see? Say you're going to put it in your heart, you have to, and your head with part. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now, the Bible does that. You see? Now, my thought to you, Rip, is this, in every respect, in every regard, see? See? As to anytime you're working out there on the field, just remember now that you are not going to be able to reconcile everybody to the right thing. You're not going to be able to do that. See? Now, just rest assured that that's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to. See? But you hold to him. You hold him to the purpose. You see? Now, here's a condensed purpose. Yahweh created. Elohim, Yahweh Elohim created everything. He declared the ends and the beginning, and he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Mm-hmm. You see? Now, listen now to what I'm going to say. That's why we went to the trouble to put them types up there, you see, and then correlate one thing with the other, line upon line, precept upon precept. See? Mm-hmm. Now that removes the necessity of a lot of long, drawn-out debates. For example, if somebody said, you said about how many stories does Noah's Ark have? See? Well, so it has three stories. Well, why does it have three stories? See, it's a figure of something. You see, then the tabernacle has three compartments. The temple has three compartments. See, you're just tying one thing to the other, see, you're just knocking down everything they say, just like I just got through telling you about the commandments, mm-hmm. or the tables of stone. You see? Now, the devil, he's going to say no. See? Now, I'll give you one. I'll give you another one. See, now you've got in your Bible there, and I think it's in Matthew, where it said that his disciples come and stole him away after he was crucified and laid in Joseph's new tomb, and the guards and the stone and all rolled up at the door, you see, and he resurrected from the dead, and they went up to the Sanhedrin council that sent them down there, the guards and all, see, and they bribed them. See, and they said that his disciples come and stole him away. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what we have been talking about right here. We've been talking about the Son. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Right.
Of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, you got two sons. One out there in the sky. See? And that natural son out there in the sky points to the sons. You see? Mm-hmm. The other son. The real son. Mm-hmm. Your father? Mm-hmm. Now, they worked together, see, from the Garden of Eden right on down. You see, them two sons. Mm-hmm. You see, now scientifically speaking, see, science don't want to accept the fact that vegetation could grow without the sun. I agree with them. See, but you see, they failed to see the sun being the creator. The sun was before everything. Mm-hmm. You see? But they're looking at the cosmic light in the sun. You see what I mean? Looking at it like that, you see? And most of this, not understanding it, of course. Mm-hmm. You follow? Now, let me say this. Now, you see them two suns come down, Adam, that's when the sun was going down. See, he was being expulsated from the garden. Right? When Yahshua the Messiah fulfilled them now, Yahshua, well, let's go back and get this first and put this in there, see. We could put Noah and the ark, and then we come on down to Moses and the children of Israel coming up there, you see, and then being buried in the in the Red Sea. And I put on the chart, a ring there, see, and the light on one side and darkness back toward the Egypt, mm-hmm. see. You see the point? Mm-hmm. And then to show the sun rise, you see, mm-hmm. the light and the darkness. You follow? Mm-hmm. Now then I go on over to Joseph's new tomb. See, the sun is buried in the tomb. See, now if it went down together, it would turn dark over the face of the earth from the sixth to the ninth hour when he was crucified. He went down together. Mm-hmm. See, then he got to come up together. You see what I'm talking about? So very early in the morning, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, so he rose from the dead. That is to say, he split right between. He was the light of the world. He split right between light and darkness. How about that? Mm-hmm. And he resurrected from the dead. Yeah. Now here's my catch. See? Now if you got it in your Bible that the disciples come and stole him away. Now, some idiot don't know how to prove that he did. That's not so. And that is a lie. This morning, today, the sun rose in the east, and sure did set in the west. He rose from there and he ascended on the zenith, you understand? Mm. And he sure did go down, that is to say, he sat down.
Mm-hmm.
Ascended and sat down. You understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I mean today. That's up today. Now you tell me who it is that could go out there and take the sun out of the sky and hide it away someplace. You see what I mean? You can't do that.
I got one other question. I believe just one more. I had planned within myself, or the thoughts came to me. I've been reorganizing and getting the people to work together in harmony as a unit. And, you know, delegating responsibilities to the various ones so that everybody can do their job in their particular perspective. And I had planned to make more visitations myself to the various churches to as a witness to the people that are out there in those churches. And in doing this, I would have to be away from class from time to time, but I do have a man that is capable and able-bodied to somewhat bridle the body, you know, in my absence. And I would like, you know, some advice or wisdom on that as to whether this is profitable or not, or is this the manner to go about it in, or should it be done in some other kind of way in reference to propagation.
My viewpoint is that I think you ought to stay there and teach that class, be the leader of the class, and try to attract people into your class. I think that's a more profitable method. Now, I know that's a very slow process, what have you. You don't expect you're going to get a whole avalanche of people to come in, because just according to the purpose that just a few, Mr. Redmond, you see, coming in at this time. There's one here and one there. So my feelings about it is that you go out there and spend a lot of time in the churches and absent yourself from the class, that it could be that some of those that you already have there in the school, you see, might be discouraged and might leave while you are out there trying to get others in. You see, you might lose out on some of those that you have, even though you might have somebody that can take your place. That's not like you being there.
Okay.
See? Now, I would encourage those that are coming to school to try to encourage others that are out in the churches to come in and use whatever contact you're able to make from time to time on your job and what have you, that you try to encourage them to come in to where you are teaching. But as far as you going out to these churches, generally speaking, you see, you're going out there in the devil's bellow, bailiwick, and the situation is, for the most part, is just one of argumentation. You see, it's the vein of the hassle, and sometimes they can accuse you of being a troublemaker in some situation of that sort, you see.
Yeah, the reason why I asked that question, I know there's all phases of the ministry, you know, Paul writes to one of his sons in the faith, and he tells him to do the work of an evangelist. And I know that evangelism can be projected in all type of forms. Now, we have initiated through the technical writing department to write up flyers for the students to go out in the various neighborhoods and put them in people's mailboxes and pass them out, you know, wherever they can to advertise the school in that particular manner. And also we have initiated a movement in the public relations department to contact various television stations and radios and try to get it out in that particular manner. But I was just, you know, wondering about the personal aspect of going into the particular churches, but I received that particular piece of wisdom well. I was just in a war about it. I just didn't know. I was thinking about what you just said, and I was thinking about going out and doing all I could to leave Chicago and the surrounding areas without an excuse, in reference to not hearing the gospel.
See, on occasion, maybe somebody might extend you an invitation. I said, on such occasion, if you would accept the invitation, they would take some of your congregation along.
Yes,
with you, you see, you have to be represented. And on such an invitation like that, then maybe you might get a chance to say something or explain something there, and you see, it might be helpful. But generally speaking, just popping in on these churches, you see, they're not going to give you too much chance to say anything under most circumstances. You see, the devil is wise, he's slick, and he's not going to give you chance to tear up his household. You understand? No, he's not going to give you that chance for the most part. So, generally speaking, that's a waste of time.
Now, there is one other area that we're in the process of trying to start something, and that's in Rockford. David moved from here to Rockford, and she got some people interested, and we went down there on about four occasions. But she hadn't called us back, you know, recently. And of course, I've been, you know, going down there.
Well,
down to Rockford, Illinois. That's about 90 miles. I don't know what direction it's in from Chicago. But I was wondering, you know, like the various other cities in Illinois and the suburban community, would it be wise to try to instill in some of the other ministers to go out and try to get something started and to spread it that way in the state?
Glad you brought that up. I'll take that one for the time being. This boy is staying over here with Josephine and Bill.
Ronnie Witherspoon.
He went to Chicago. You were there when he was, before his departure, wasn't he?
Right.
I sent a message about him. He asked me before he left if I wanted to send any kind of a message, and I told him yes, and I did. And this was the message that I sent. I told him to tell you to remain steadfast, you said, and be alert at all times, you see, and continue, you see, to try to admonish and encourage the people there in Chicago. In other words, it was just a general thing. You see what I'm talking about?
Mm.
Which you would know even without me having anything to say. That was what you was there for.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, he comes back and he tells me that Jim Compton and his brother was thinking about going out and into the summer. He named the place.
Amherst.
Amherst, or whatever it was. And another place over there, and starting up a school. And he said that I said that, or he told them that I said it would be all right. You see? But now, I never tell nobody nothing like that. See, without saying, well, see Rip, see, or whoever is in charge of that state, I don't do things that way. You follow what I mean? And I didn't think, then when he said that, I said that I don't think that Rip would be out of harmony with such a procedure, you see, but since you said it. But I did not say that, you see. It didn't come in my mind. I didn't know nothing about it. You see what I'm talking about? Nobody said nothing to me about it. But him until when he came back. You see? So I just want to let you know. You see? I told him after he got back, I said I didn't think And I said, that's what we're trying to do here, is to get them to go out and get something started somewhere, see, and spread the message all over the world. That's what we're really trying to do, every kind of way we know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, that's for that. Now, I'd like to ask this. Now, do you understand our position? I said our. But I'll bring it back to myself. Do you understand my position?
Yes, I do, Doctor.
See? Fully. On what you wrote in the letter?
Yes.
And what is in that book?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand
yes,
my
sir.
Position on it?
Yes, I must confess that in my own mannerism, I was a little bit irritated because I didn't fully read and comprehend the motivation, thought, and intent of the paper. I must confess that. In other words, I just got a little bit hot because I had taken the precepts from the book, but I understand now it was the manner in which I took it out without fully outlining what was written in the book and fully documenting the information that I took from
it. Yeah, the presentation of it.
So I think that you said to save myself an unnecessary trip, perhaps this was good that I don't do it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it has served a very great purpose for my coming here to be fully informed as to the motivation of what was written in the letter.
And I'll add this to it. See, in the future, see, although I'm not drawing back now on what I already said, but in the future, if a great big problem arises up there which you are not able to handle, see, then I think you should contact us.
All right.
Your father?
All right.
But it's just things like this. I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
You follow?
All right.
Now, here we are at headquarters. See, things that Dr. Gross and Dr. Harris and Dennis and Dr. Mathis can handle it, see. Go ahead on handle them. I'm just like a little recess. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if something comes up, see, and it's necessary, see, he'll be up to see me about it. Is that right, Doc?
Right.
So now that's the way it is.
Okay.
So that's the way we do here.
All right.
That's the way you do there.
Mm.
See? And then if in your teachers that you're trying to make teachers out of, that's what the Constitution and that's what we're trying to do is make teachers out of persons in attendance, see, that's matriculated in the school. We're trying to make teachers out of them. So, in other words, in order to evangelize the world. Now, here's my thought. Now, those that you have teachers, see, now, should something arise, some root of bitterness spring up, see, now, this is the way I would do it. See, I would take that up with them privately, see.
Okay.
See,
right.
And then try to straighten it out there in your own nucleus. You see what I'm talking about? Before you would attempt to present it to us as some issue that needs to our attention. Do you follow what I mean?
I see what you're talking about.
Now that's what you're there for.
I think that I should explain this. The particular contentions that we had, they decided to call a meeting, which probably all of you knew about. Dennis, you want me to wait till you come back, or thank you.
I can't wait. I'm sorry.
But at any rate, they sent a tape to Dennis. I don't know whether he let you all listen at it or not. But it was some confusion that we were having there, and I told him that. I said, well, we'll follow the chain of command. We'll try to straighten it out here. And if we can't straighten it out here, we'll forward it to the superintendent, you see, in line in the chain of command. And if that is not acceptable with you all, then we'll proceed further to the higher command. And if it's not satisfactory there, then we'll go all the way up to the top. Now, some of the things that came up have been discussed here tonight, and that's the reason why I bought my tape recorder, because I wanted them to hear the words of the officials here in the state, so that if they had any arguments after that, I'm not going to fool with it no more. You know what I'm talking about? And trying to run a school and keep the people together in harmony, and when these things do arise, and trying to settle it there first. And that's the reason why I said in the letter, Doc, that the reason why I was contacting your...